Hey everyone, before we dive into this week's episode, I want to take a moment and remind you that we have a three-box challenge going on at AcrossTheBifrost.com. You can submit your three-box roster to three-box, the number three, the word box, at AcrossTheBifrost.com for a chance to win your submitted three boxes. At the end of this month, we're going to select a handful of boxes, or excuse me, a handful of lists, put them up on the website, and have people vote on them. The winning U.S. box will get their boxes, courtesy of Discount Games, Inc. The winning international player, well, they have eternal bragging rights. So we hope you jump over to AcrossTheBifrost.com, check it out, and again, you can submit your roster to 3, the number, box at AcrossTheBifrost.com.
Somewhere across the Bifrost, way up high,
welcome back to the latest episode of Across the Bifrost. Ed, happy holidays. Now, when Pat and I are recording, but by the time you listen to this, it will in fact be a holiday somewhere. So, before we dive into the episode, Pat, how you doing?
I'm doing great, thanks, TT. Christmas is coming, and I'm very excited.
Yeah, I'm excited as well. With children, it's definitely more about them, but still, a lot of fun times. The wife is going crazy setting up the Christmas decorations. We just moved, so we're like unpacking. It's kind of a madhouse, if we're being honest. But I did want to congratulate you, Pat. Congrats on getting married. I wish you two nothing but the best of health and, yeah, enjoyable times in the future.
Thank you very much. Yeah, we have a pre-Christmas wedding. Slightly unusual timing, but hopefully everything goes well and we have no issues with COVID. Fingers crossed. I'm sure it'll be fine.
Yeah, I know you're keeping it to a small wedding, which is fine. I understand I wasn't invited. That's okay, Pat. But yeah, I hope it goes well for you guys. And again, I wish you good health and happy times in the future. So on Sleeve It or Heave It, a Pat Dunford recommendation, Face Me. Ooh, there's a lot of text on this card, Pat. Do you want to give a synopsis of it?
Yeah, I suppose I have to, right, as I chose the card. So Face Me is unaffiliated active card. And it says, during an allied character's activation, it may spend 3 power to play this card. So important note, this is one of those cards that you have to play during the specific activation. Choose an enemy character within range 4 of this character. Advance the enemy character at speed towards this character. After the advance, the chosen character's controller may make one attack with the chosen character.
So we have kind of a rule of thumb where if a tactics card grants us an action, we tend to be pretty high in it, right? Mm-hmm. Or at least we consider that it's getting kind of a better return value there. So it is granting 2 actions, technically, right? But we are moving an opponent's character, which is very powerful. Obviously, Mystique. Mystique's card is extremely well known for this.
Deception, yep.
There is an interesting, thank you, my brain was just bleh. There's an interesting negative where you control the character's advance. Mm-hmm. The controlling character then gets to make an attack. And a few things that people have assumed about this card that aren't true, it can be any attack. It doesn't have to be a builder. And the attack can target anyone. It doesn't have to target the model playing the card Face Me. So, pretty big negatives. Uh-huh. But a really good positive. What do we think about it? It's really powerful effect. Does cost a lot of power. I love the fact that it is range 4. I've used it. It's not currently in any roster I'm playing.
Right. So thank you for highlighting some of the weird interactions with this card, because it is really strange. And I agree, it's really unintuitive that the attack you make, it can be any cost, can be any target. And indeed, it's optional, right? So if you don't want to, you don't have to make an attack at all. So keep in mind, as the person playing this card, the attack you give your opponent is a very, very big downside. There's really no way to turn it into a positive against a savvy opponent, because the worst case is they just don't make an attack at all. But the reason I wanted to suggest this one is I have seen Hulk on the table a lot recently. Mm. This is the classic Incredible Hulk, right? From the early days of MCP, who got a new lease of life with a much improved stat card. And you know what Hulk has every round?
He's got a lot of power, anger issues.
Exactly. He generates 3 power, right? And this card costs 3 power. And Hulk is very, very good at 1, taking hits, and 2, dishing out damage at close range. And this card actually synergizes with him pretty well. Because as the character playing it, he doesn't mind if he's the one targeted by an attack. and it lets him pull in an opponent potentially from a very long distance, kind of like if he had, well, Deception, like you said, or something like Venom's Web Snare, and then go to town beating them up.
Hulk is one of those characters who can make great use out of it, like you said, especially on a flank. If you're able to position the character in short range, range two of Hulk, so they can't attack someone else, I can definitely see that. I like your observation about the power they have. There's obviously some power, or there's obviously good synergy there. I can see you using it with Hulk. There are some other characters. When I've used it in the past, I used it with Vision, a character that can be pretty mobile in the defensive abilities that they're able to take on. Usually they're not taking too much damage from the attack. And Vision, a lot of times for me, used to hold like a side flank kind of by himself almost. So I do like it with Vision as well. I don't know if you've tried that, Pat. I know you've played a lot of Vision recently. It's definitely an interesting card. Are there other characters that really could make great use out of it?
Yeah, I think there are. So I think it's worth mentioning other characters that generate three power naturally every turn as always being able to make use out of it. And okay, there's two others that spring to mind, which are both pretty powerful and popular now in their affiliations or even their splashes. That's Doctor Strange Sorcerer Supreme, who's a cornerstone of Convocation, and Ebony Moore, who got as much of a facelift as Hulk and is really darn good now. He's very strong. Now, the downside with both of these characters is they already have range 4 or greater attacks, right? So they're not getting the advantage for themselves of pulling someone into range that Hulk is getting. But I think it's pretty nice that they could use this on turn 1 after a move or even a double move and pull someone very far out of position. I think it's a surprising and powerful play that it's good to have access to.
Yeah, I think I like it more on Strange than I do on Maw, right? Maw already has so many ways to move the opponent, but I guess doubling down on that isn't necessarily a bad thing. It's also worth noting that you can move models through you with this, right? So if you are in base-to-base with the person, they could end up farther away from you than you began the play with the card. I like the card. It just really hasn't made my 10. Maybe I need to consider playing it more, but I'm not really playing any of the characters we've listed there. I'm trying to think back in my games when I had like three power floating around that I'd like someone moved. And honestly, the situation I feel like comes up pretty often. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's something I need to explore more. It is very conditionally powerful.
Yeah, I do think you have to have the right characters for it, because I think three power is too much to accidentally have at the right time for this card. I think it's one of those cards you want to be using proactively and probably earlier in the game, like round one or round two, generally speaking. Another character who seems like he would be very well suited for this card, although I've not had a chance to put the combo together yet, is Juggernaut, a card that's just recently been previewed by AMG. And he, of course, is really tough. So he, once again, like Hulk, doesn't mind if he's the target for this attack. And also is really good at making three power, because after he advances, he goes from one power to three. So you can absolutely have Juggernaut advance once, pull somebody forward into range, and then deliver a big punch, just the same way that you would with Hulk, but for one threat less.
Okay, I am playing with Juggernaut, and I like that. I actually like that observation a lot. I could definitely see... Yeah, okay. I'd be willing to sleeve it up for that, sure. So I guess my short is, I guess I would sleeve it with the caveat, like so many tactics cards in the game, Pat, I think you really need a plan on how you're going to use it and when you're going to use it. I also think it'd be worth exploring if I had one of these characters who could do it early, if I was playing one of those single high-value extracts. I do think there's some interesting stuff there where you can advance them towards you where you might not be able to otherwise.
Let me put one more suggestion towards you, TT, for combo potential. How would you feel if I had put my insert character here? We'll say Angela, right? Let's say I've got my Angela in the middle of the table. She's gone and flipped two deadly meteors. She's sitting pretty, thinking she's unassailable. You advance your Juggernaut forward. You get three power. You face me, pulling me into you. And then you hit me. You do three damage. You generate three power. And then you get to throw me long with Do You Know Who I Am? Juggernaut can pretty reliably get three power, and that's without help from any leaderships or tactics cards, right? You could add those on top. And he can move someone their speed, pull them into range, and then throw them long. and you can get a character from the center line into your deployment zone.
I think attacking for 3 damage on Angela is optimistic, but I like the play. It'd be a heck of a play, right?
Yeah, okay. I should have picked someone else, like Black Cat or something. I don't know.
Yes, okay. I guess to recap, yes, I think that is very good. I also think it's worth noting that we've spent 6 power and 2 tactics cards to make it happen, so it should be really good.
I think it's sweet, and maybe it's not top tier play, but it's the kind of play that I think would be super fun and entertaining to do. And of course, if you don't generate the power, you could just use that incredible tactics card to throw someone later in the game.
Yeah, I mean, Do You Know Who I Am, I think is amazing. Love that card. I think it's worth it. I think if you're playing one of these interesting, kind of chunky characters that ends up generating a bunch of power, I definitely think it's worth exploring. And I could see, because again, I have been playing a decent amount of Juggernaut, I could see using it with Juggernaut quite a bit.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's very cool.
All right, so it sounds like we're both sleeving Do We Know Who I Am and Face Me. So there you go. You got a 2-for-1 from this holiday special. So for this holiday special, Pat and I had an idea. I think everyone is familiar with the 3-box challenge, which I didn't know Mark Groh created, and we are running a contest for that over on AcrossTheBifrost.com. If you'd like to win 3 boxes, you can check that out at AcrossTheBifrost.com/blog/3box challenge. But we're each going to gift each other a box. Now, we already own all the things, so we're pretending we don't have this stuff. And then we're going to create and dojo our 3-box rosters on the podcast live. Right, Pat?
Okay, so the idea is I've already got the core set. You give me a box, and then I pick 2 others to complement it to create my roster. Is that right?
That is absolutely correct, and you are reciprocating the same thing. So Pat and I know that we are giving each other a box. We don't know what the boxes are. So, Pat, do you want to give or receive your gift first?
Well, obviously, I want to give the gift first. Giving the gift is the best part.
Okay, I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm excited.
Okay, so I kind of went for 2 gifts for you. Obviously, knowing you, TT, the number 1 MCP box set that I could get you would be the garbage truck. So, of course, I give you a garbage truck.
I would love
to
own
add
a 6th
collection. Yeah, of course. But unfortunately, that one doesn't fit in the 3-box challenge. So on top of the garbage truck, I wanted to give you a box set that was the most possible value. And I thought, what could be better than the box set that has the highest combined threat value of characters that you can possibly have? So I am proudly giving you Jean Grey and Cassandra Nova. 10 threat in 1 box.
Oof, that is... Okay, that's a lot of threat. Now I got to do some thinking. Jean Grey and Cassandra Nova. Okay, so to recap the 5-box challenge, just so everyone is aware of it, you have the core set and 3 boxes. I'm going to call it a booster box, for lack of a better term, of characters in there. So Pat's giving me Jean and Cassandra. I have the core box, which has that revitalized Captain America in it, revitalized Miss Marvel. My initial gut is leaning A-Force, even though I know Jean isn't affiliated there. Cassandra, obviously, with Cabal tag. So there's a couple different ways you can go here. Go ahead, Pat.
Yeah, Cassandra is Cabal affiliated. Cabal only, I think. Jean
I believe they're both single affiliations, right?
Yeah, Jean is only X-Men. Now, both of them have superpowers that would also be pretty good with Captain America's leadership. So I think you've got options there in terms of if you want to use the core set to start. And then in addition to those 2 characters, you get 2 tactics cards. You get Mental Domination, which is a great card that can be used with either character. And you get Jean, which would push you further towards X-Men.
I'm sure this dead space makes for a very compelling podcasting as I kind of think this through. So I think I want to go X-Men for the sole purpose of I've played a lot of Avengers, and I think I do prefer Jean Grey over Cassandra. So I think I want to go with an X-Men roster, and maybe it ends up being an X-Men dual affiliated roster with Avengers, because I do think the core of like Steve and Iron Man is really compelling. I pick one other Avengers character to toss in there, maybe that is better. I don't know.
Well,
I gotta think about this, Pat.
There are a couple of X-Men that are also Avengers affiliated.
Yeah, I mean, Cable, Beast, Wolverine. Am I missing one?
Those are the three that sprung to mind for me. I think that's it. Deadpool is in Avengers, but he's not X-Men, right? No, I think that's it.
Now, the problem is all three of those X-Men I named are in different boxes from each other. So it gets awkward as you try to pick up the additional boxes, right? Wolverine is with his brother. Beast is with Mystique, I think. Mm-hmm. And then Storm and Cyclops are boxed together. Is that correct?
Yep.
And then Cable is boxed with... is Domino... Domino's not an Avenger.
Domino's
Cable. A-Force, Domino's X-Force, X-Men. X-Men. Never mind. Do you think there's another way to go other than X-Men? I mean, Jean could splash in almost anything.
She could. I think Cassandra is great in Cabal, where she's affiliated, and you can move her around with Red Skull as a high-threat character, and she's superb under Captain America's leadership. So I think you could put her with either of the Corset leaders. Hmm. I also would point out that most of the time in 3-box challenge, you'll end up playing 17 threat, and this 10 threat core is kind of interesting because you can add a 3 and a 4 and you can actually go 4 wide, which is not that common in 3-box.
So what are you proposing as the core?
So I think you've got a couple of options, but what would you say to something like Jean, Cassandra, Red Skull, Zemo?
I think we're playing a Pat Dunford list, which means it's very good. It's just not normally characters I put on the table. I'm not opposed to it. Okay, what if we explore Cabal? Because I do like Crossbones as well. Could we afford to pick up the Sin box?
Yes. Or if you like, you could go Beast. Mystique. Mystique is Cabal affiliated, Beast is Avengers, and X-Men. And you could do two or even three affiliations in this 10-character roster.
Let's not go crazy, Pat. Three affiliations and a 3-box challenge?
Why not? Wolverine, Sabretooth are X-Men, Avengers, and Cabal in three. You can make it happen, TT.
We definitely could make it happen. That is very true. Not dissuading you of that. Okay, I think we need to pick a direction here. So we've got Jean and Cassandra. Let's take a look at the two characters, I guess, a little bit more in depth here, obviously, right? They are very, very different roles, right?
Yes. Jean is more defensive, anti-control. And Cassandra is more controlling. But they both fundamentally are going to be sitting at about the same place on the table. So in terms of things like your crisis plan, they have a similar role, I think, when you're planning what crises are good for them. And they might sometimes get in each other's way on the same team if the crisis, for example, only has one back point, like a back gamma shelter that they both want to stand on.
Yeah, I guess to be honest, it didn't really occur to me to put both of them in the same roster. I kind of assumed I would be picking one of these five threats and kind of building to suit them. But I guess to your point, that doesn't have to be the case. I could go... I could go with both of them. I kind of like the idea of Cassandra with Sin the more I think about it. There's some interesting shenanigans based around the crisis there, right? Cassandra has, I can't remember the name of it, but when you move close to her, she rolls some dice. She can deal some carrot damage, and then she advances herself, right?
Yep, exactly, with psychic distraction.
Yep, thank you very much. She hands out root, she hands out slow. Sin's obnoxious because she's going to be pushing people around. I like Crossbones with Sin because Crossbones is the kind of that meaty character I'm going to stick on points. That gives me an 11-point core, which means I would need 2 3-threat characters to fill out the most common roster, which would be 17, right?
And yes, and that was easy with just the core set, right? So you'd have the luxury of another box to pick a perfect character. But Baron Zemo would be superb in that role. He already makes all of my Sin rosters regardless. And then you could pick any other 3-threat you fancied, right? Like Iron Man, for example, would be a cool choice.
Yeah, so then really, I mean, I can look at, is there another character? Is there another tactic? Or even, is there another crisis I really want to pick up to add to this roster, right? So again, the core of the roster is going to be Sin. I'm still going to have Red Skull, because I do like the variation of Red Skull. I'm going to have Zemo. I'm going to have Crossbones. I'm going to have Nova. And then I could put Viper in. I'm not that high on Viper personally. But I've got five roster slots, and I really only, in my head, need to fill out... a four wouldn't be bad, but I don't mind tossing in one of the fours out of the box.
I mean,
honestly, it would be refreshing to play Ultron again.
Yes, that's exactly what I was going to say. New Ultron is pretty darn good, right? And it would be cool to have him on the table. Him and Cassandra are a pretty powerful firebase.
Yeah, so I think I scale vertically fine. I think it is just, like you said, picking... And I like Zemo in that role when I already have Crossbones. So then really it's just picking another three that I want to run on the 17s out of the core box. And there's a bunch of different ways we can go that way.
Yeah. One squad that I would consider purely for fun, because you have a whole extra box at your disposal, and I know that this is not what you would do personally, so I feel like I have to suggest it myself, right? Is for, just for the fun, right? You could, your last box could be MODOK. You no, then have no, MODOK, no. Jean, hear me out. I know you're shaking your head. You have MODOK, Jean, and Cassandra Nova. Right, three psychic powerhouses, which is a very funny team, and you get a 20 threat value crisis in alien ships, where you can put them all together alongside Sin and Black Widow from the core set to have an affiliated Cabal roster at 20 threat that runs all three of them.
I mean,
there's no synergy in this.
You saying
roster.
Something?
The
you
theme
mean,
is just three psychic powerhouses.
I'm not purchasing MODOK. Not in my three box challenge. What about Mysterio and Carnage?
Ooh, that's a good one.
I like Mysterio as my three threat. He is still affiliated, I believe, with Cabal.
Yep.
He brings me Grand Illusion.
Yeah.
I have Carnage as just like a random, like, who doesn't like Carnage if I want to blow someone up? Mm-hmm. So then I would be fielding Sin, Crossbones, Zemo, and Mysterio, getting me to 12 threat. Cassandra, getting me a 5-wide 17 threat with a lot of enemy movement shenanigans, a couple decent melee brawlers in Crossbones and Zemo, and then a bunch of shenanigans. I kind of like that.
I love it. I think it's awesome. One of the things I really like about that is the synergy Cassandra and Mysterio have together, because of the fact they're both able to move enemy characters, and then they're both able to trigger their tricks and traps or psychic distraction when either one of them moves the other. So you can have a lot of shenanigans with the two of them on the table together.
Yeah, I can get behind that. So is there any... So we've got Jean, Cassandra, Sin, Mysterio. I'm going to tentatively put Carnage in there just because Carnage, right? I still think we want Red Skull just because of Red Skull. We want Zemo. We want Crossbones. Who are the Ultron? And then I have one more slot open.
Jean Grey. In case for some reason you think Jean's suite is going to be better than Cassandra's, you could just do a straight swap out.
I think I already have Jean, right? I have Cassandra, Jean, Mysterio, Sin, Carnage, Red Skull, Zemo, Crossbones, Ultron. So I have nine with her.
I'm with you. Do you want a two threat? Yeah, Iron Man would be great.
I wouldn't mind a two threat. I don't like the two threat that I currently have an option to take.
Black Widow's okay with his leadership. She's fine.
Yep, I'm taking Iron Man. Good talk.
Okay, good choice. Iron Man is badass.
I have some really cool, compelling tactics cards. I obviously have Dark Reign, Cosmic Infusion if I choose to take it, Grand Illusion. Yeah, I like that. I think it's very compelling. I have the Sin cards. I think I'll be taking those as well.
Yeah, you probably take both, right? And Mental Domination. For Cassandra?
Mental Domination for sure. And what is it? Illicit Tech. And I can't remember the name of the other one out of the Sin box. It is Ash and Cinder, I think?
Yep.
The one that places the explosive charge.
Yeah, which is really fun.
Yeah, I could definitely play that. I like that a lot. So cool. Thank you very much for the Christmas present, Pat. I actually might put this on the table as there's a three-box challenge in Colorado here starting up. I plan on going to in the new year.
You're welcome. I think Cassandra Nova is one of the most fun characters to play, so I hope you enjoy her.
So it is funny, I guess, the kind of boxes we've gifted each other here, Pat. So I've gifted you another five-threat, mentally dominating character.
Ooh.
The Ebony Maw and Black Dwarf box is the one I was giving you, Pat, because I know you're excited about Ebony Maw. I think there's a lot of really cool different ways we can go with this. So where do you want to start your three-box challenge?
Yeah, I really like Ebony Maw, and I'm very happy to play him as a splash character in any affiliation. So obviously with this box, the first thing that springs to mind is Black Order. Now, is that the right way to go? It's pretty easy three-box challenge, right? It does itself. You get Thanos, you get Corvus and Proxima, and suddenly you have all of the Black Order characters, all of the gems. So that's an option. And it's probably a really good option. I think it's a little bit too obvious, and especially for the sake of this pod, right? It's like, right, okay, I've done it. Solved. But I do think that's a good fallback to have in mind, that if necessary, we could do that. However, I think the downside of that approach is the most frequently used item from this box, if I'm playing Black Order, is probably Mothership. Right? Mothership is the card that defines Black Order so well. And then the main characters I'm going to use are going to be the other box sets, Thanos, Corvus, and Proxima. So because I want to try and get the most out of Ebony Maw, I don't think I'm going to go that route. I think I'm going to pick something different. Now, I like Ebony Maw a lot as an Avenger. He has, like so many characters, he has great synergy with Captain America's leadership.
He does.
Right? And if I take the two of those together, that's a 9 threat core. I need to then add 8 more threat to get to 17. I would slam in Iron Man every day of the week, along with Ricochet Blast.
So now we need a 3 and a 2 then, right?
Yeah, so obviously I could take Black Widow and any 3 I like. And that would be fine. That, once again, doesn't need any other box sets. Black Widow and Baron Zemo would be a fantastic team, honestly. But I think we could probably do a bit better than that, considering we have the boxes to spare. And I probably, if I want to maximize this team with the core of Iron Man, Cap, and Ebony Maw, I think in terms of what the characters do on the table, I have a lot of good options there, right? I have Cap and Iron Man can both go forward aggressively. All three characters have good range damage. So I'm not too worried about the crisis at this point. I'm just trying to think. I probably want a 3-threat Avenger, and I probably want then any 2-threat of my choice if I want to upgrade Black Widow. Now,
well, there are a lot of 3-threat Avengers.
There are indeed. Obviously, Sam Wilson is great. He also comes with War Machine, who's very good, but doesn't have the Captain America synergy. The other box that has really amazing 3-threat Avengers is the Heroes for Hire, right? Luke Cage and Iron Fist. And Luke Cage especially, I love with Captain America. Getting the cheap throw and the cheap Too Dangerous to Ignore is brilliant. I also like the synergy of Cap and Luke with Ebony Maw, because he has that Enchantress gimmick, right? Where you have to choose, as the attacker, you have to choose to pay power to reduce his defenses. And then as the defender, you can go, Too Dangerous to Ignore, and waste their power, which is petty, but I enjoy it. So I think that could be a pretty good base for a team. So we could go Heroes for Hire with Luke Cage, Captain America, Iron Man, Ebony Maw. That is 15 threat. And then an option for another 2. I like Toad a lot in Avengers. I like Bullseye a lot. I like Okoye a lot. Any of those take your fancy?
Who comes in the Okoye box?
Shuri.
Is it Shuri? Okay, I couldn't remember.
Yeah, Shuri Okoye. Pretty good boxer. Toad comes with Magneto, who is a member of the Cabal. What was the other one I said? Bullseye comes with Daredevil?
Does he? It's impressive you can remember that. I can't. I have to look that up.
Well,
he does come with Daredevil.
Was I right? That's great.
Ooh, that gets you climbing gear.
Am I also right in thinking that Bullseye comes with climbing gear? Yes, you just said it.
Yeah.
Yes. Ooh. Climbing gear's pretty good. Good on Ebony Maw, right? A character that doesn't want to waste movement actions and always has the power to use it.
It also comes with acute senses, which you might actually play with Ebony Maw.
Yeah, you could put it in your 10 as a tech piece, right? With your relatively limited selection of tactics cards.
Yeah, exactly. In the three box challenge, right? The threshold for sleeve it or keep it just goes down a little bit, right?
Yes, way down. I think it's also worth noting that I don't hate Black Dwarf in this Captain America team. I quite like the idea of having Black Dwarf, Luke Cage, and Captain America all on the same team.
I like Black Dwarf a lot. Now, obviously benefits greatly from his powers being reduced down to 2-1-1 respectively. Still doesn't have any movement help, right? Which is one of the biggest issues with the Dwarf.
Mm-hmm. But
Black Dwarf can get to the middle of the board and they don't have a bunch of movement, there's a lot of ifs in that statement. He's a powerhouse.
He is. And thinking about the core set crises, I think he would be fine on Infinity Formula. I think he would be really good on Deadly Meteors, where he can just sit in the middle of the table turn one and then just start being relevant and powerful. And then the last core set secures Extremist Consoles. Let's face it, we're probably not taking him on Extremist Consoles, but that's fine. And you could have him go and sit on the flank on Extremist. It might not be the worst. If there's a lot of size 4 terrain to throw, perhaps that's the thing you want to do.
Yeah, I think if he makes your roster, it's kind of the same as my logic with Ultron. It's just like, okay, this could be cool once in a great while, but I don't think you end up playing him very much, right?
Yeah, I don't think so, especially because it's hard to fit him and Morin because they're both expensive unaffiliated choices. Mm-hmm. But I like the idea. Okay, so here's what we're doing. We're getting Luke Cage, for sure, and we're going to get Bullseye. So we're getting those two boxes. So we've got Bullseye, Daredevil, Luke Cage, Iron Fist. We've got all the core set crises, and then the core of our team is Captain America, Iron Man, probably Black Widow for the option, Ebony Maw, Black Dwarf, Luke Cage, Bullseye. That's 7 characters. We're probably adding Iron Fist, once again, just to have the option. Baron Zemo, who is a superb Avenger. And maybe Captain Marvel as the last spot to round it out, another 4-cross character. So instead of going like Maw and Iron Man, for example, you could do Captain Marvel and Black Dwarf.
Okay.
And then
you've got some decent tactics cards there, right? I think you probably end up with Shush in your 10, Acute Senses, and Climbing Gear all seem solid. You've got Heroes for Hire coming out of the Luke Cage box, right?
Yes, those are all the tactics cards I'm really excited about. What else comes in the Luke Cage box for tactics cards? Kundun Training? I don't think we really want that one.
Kick them when they're down is a 2-power. When targeting this character with an attack, allies may reroll 1 attack die for each special condition the chosen character has. I don't feel like you're particularly good at tossing out
special conditions. I don't know if my team has any special conditions in all 10 characters. So, yeah.
Does Bullseye bleed?
Oh, he does. Okay, but yeah, we're not going to kick him out of the down.
And then Kundun Training was the really weird one that just, it costs like 9,000 power, but you can reroll all your attack dice, right?
It's a bit like the Calibration Matrix, but I don't think we need it. It's like a slightly worse for Calibration Matrix, or at least like slightly worse and slightly cheaper. I don't know. Forget it. We don't need that one. But when we already have Avengers Assemble, which is a great card from the core set, we can take Patch Up and we can take Brace from the core set. And then we add Climbing Gear, Acute Senses, Heroes for Hire. That brings us to 8 already.
Mark for Death?
Yes, Mark for Death, of course. That comes with Black Dwarf Ebony Maw, right?
It does.
That's great. And then we just need one more from the core set, which could be like Mission Objective. Could be Sacrifice, really good on that team with lots of tough characters.
You took Brace already, right?
Yep. I think Sacrifice is great on that team, so let's put that one in for the last spot.
Yeah, I think Sacrifice is a good one. Yeah, I think that's good. Monologue wouldn't be bad either, actually, right?
No, it would actually be pretty good, I agree. You could have Ebony Maw, Monologue, Captain America at the start of the round. Could be pretty cool. Or Disarm would also be a fine choice.
Oh yeah, Disarm's always really good. Alright, I think we ended up with 2 pretty decent rosters out of that, Pat.
Yeah, and I think they'd both be pretty fun to play. One of the things I like about the 3-box challenge is that the squads always end up being like close to what you would normally choose, but you have to do some weird offbeat stuff. And that adds a bit of spice to the games, I think.
Yeah, I think the if we're just going to be stating the obvious on a podcast, right? I think the biggest change for me is just the crises you see are very different than the crises I see in normal games. I think that's the biggest change for me, which is, again, it can be a lot of fun and refreshing to play in kind of the older ones. And I think it's a great way to introduce new players to the game, right? Because the game can be kind of daunting now for new players to get into it.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's a nice way to ease people in.
Yeah, for sure.
So, TT, in the past, you have been quizzing me with song lyrics. And it's been a while that we have had song lyrics on the pod. And our listeners might have thought we forgot about it. But no, I distinctly remember that in the past, you were intrigued, dare I say excited, about the idea that I might turn the tables on you and offer you some song lyrics. And I'll give you a clue before we get started. This was off the back of your comment that you could not think of any British rock bands, which I'm sure you would just say it was a joke, right? You couldn't really not have realized that Queen wasn't a British rock band, right?
I did not realize Queen was a British rock band, but that was a moment that I'm not proud of, but I am owning up to because it is immortalized in audio. Yeah.
Okay. So here's your chance to redeem yourself. Oof. Are you ready?
Yeah, I guess so.
I see a red door and I want it painted black. No colours anymore. I want them to turn black. I see the girls walk by dressed in their summer clothes. I have to turn my head until my darkness goes. I see a line of cars and they're all painted black. With flowers and my love, both never to come back. I've seen people turn their heads and quickly look away. Like a newborn baby, it just happens every day. I look inside myself and see my heart is black. I see my red door. I must have it painted black.
Slightly embarrassing. I don't remember the name of the song. That was sung by the Stones, I believe. Maybe then I'll fade away and not have to face the facts. God, what is the song name, though?
I love that. Are you serious?
I don't know the song.
I love that of all the songs I could have chosen, this is the one whose name you can't figure out the lyrics.
It's painted. I don't know. I really don't remember the song name. Oh my gosh. Okay, it is the Stones, though, right?
It's the Rolling Stones. Congratulations. Okay. You did succeed in the quiz. And of course, the name of the song is Paint It Black.
And this is crazy. I didn't know the Stones were British either.
All right. Well, like, I guess I'll just have to
say. When I closed my eyes, I was trying to think of if I ever heard any of the Stones do an interview so I could remember if they had an accent, because I don't remember them being British, which is, I guess, very American of me.
It really is.
I can't remember Mick or Keith. I mean, I guess, sure. Like, I believe you that they're British. It just didn't initially come to my mind. I was expecting like the Clash or something.
Okay. Well, I guess I'll just have to keep doing this bit until you figure out which bands are British and which aren't. There are quite a few to choose from, let me tell you.
Yeah, you've got at least six or seven more there. So, all right. Well, Pat and I want to thank each and every one of you for a great year. We hope you enjoyed this holiday episode. We hope you enjoy the three-box challenge. Hop over to AcrossTheBifrost.com if you'd like to enter to win a three-box challenge yourself. The way it works is you submit a roster. You email us at threebox@AcrossTheBifrost.com. You explain a little bit why. We're going to pick a couple rosters we like, put them up on the website, and the winner will get their three boxes courtesy of Discount Games, Inc. If you want to support Pat and I, you can check us out at patreon.com/AcrossTheBifrost. Pays for AcrossTheBifrost.com, mcpdb.com, this podcast, our recording stuff, and then, to be honest, Pat and I buy some Marvel figures with it, with anything that's left over. We do want to thank each and every one of you, regardless of whether you support us or not, for listening. We do really appreciate every one of you. It's been a crazy wild year. It's been a ton of episodes. Really fortunate, really blessed, really enjoyed doing this with you, Pat. Obviously, it's been really fun. Until next time, everyone, cheers and happy gaming.
Somewhere across the bifrost, way up high. There's a pod that I've heard of once in a lullaby. Somewhere across the bifrost skies are blue, and the dreams that you dare to dream really do come true.